Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined by former Wales and Lions skipper, Tottenham fan. He did a bit of football. He was interested on Tottenham, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Very
Sam Warburton, of course, we're talking about.
Yeah, it's
about.
A good talker. Good man.
We had a bit of a chat about various
things, didn't we?
Yes,
we talked.
And your obsession with Mastermind continued.
Well.
And we set you some questions as well. A new specialist subject for you.
Yeah,
probably one
I
of your best,
it.
Actually.
Well, not too bad.
So I think that should do you. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone, and good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. And I see that Todd Bowley has got rid of the Chelsea groundsman and his son, who've been there for 30 years.
Yeah.
So he's basically fired everyone except the one person he should have fired. It's brilliant, isn't it? Well done.
What's that, the manager?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Have they said why they're making a change? Is the pitch not look up to scratch?
People were commenting that the pitch didn't look right for Saturday. I didn't notice it myself, but it looked all right. But, I mean you can only really tell when you're down at pitch level and the way the ball runs and... presume they're not happy with it, so, you know. But he's been there a long time. So
he certainly has. I remember him from my time there. He's been there that long, yeah.
What can you do? Sad news about Soccer AM, isn't it? I mean,
it is, yeah. I mean, you could say it's had a sensational run. It's interesting the kind of... I'm sure Andy Goldstein will be chatting about it after four as one of the presenters.
Sure.
Max Rushton's long asleep where he is these days, so we're not... We'll try and get a bit of a reaction to that for you this afternoon. We're working on that. But it is sad news after
it is.
So many years. It is an institution.
My old producer, Andy Harris, was the first producer of the sort of... There was a version of it before it became the Soccer AM.
Which Russ Williams was the host on when
it
first started.
The Tim and Helen version was him, and he basically worked with me a couple of years on fantasy football. And you can...
Good lad, Andy, no longer with us. The gooner in the gallery, as he was known.
And I met one of my best friends there. Andy used to invite me to watch the show go out on Saturday, so it was good times. What else have we got here? I didn't tell you this. It was great on Saturday. I was leaving the ground, and you know, people always...
You went to the Chelsea game, not the Brentford game. You couldn't squeeze both in.
No, I couldn't. Chelsea Everton, and you remember Everton's first goal was given by the referee's watch and all that, and the technology. So one bloke leaning around said, "Oh no, I don't think it was over the line." They've got a watch, they've got the technology. It was definitely over the line.
It's gone wrong once, hasn't it?
Once.
Although it was that kind of, it was a bit of an outlier, wasn't it, because of the circumstances of it. But once that watch vibrates.
Mm.
I mean, if it's the sort of watches that we all wear, maybe it's telling him to stand up or drink more water. haven't stood up for an hour, it says to the referee. Yeah, that's
exactly.
It. Could be. That's always the danger.
And Spurs fan, this is a letter to the Sun today. Spurs fan Antonio Conte, you know, Spurs boss. He's definitely not a Spurs fan.
I'm beginning to think he might be an Arsenal fan. I think he might be Agent Conte, which would explain a great deal.
Honestly, these letters are so... This book's so naive. He's a Spurs boss. Antonio Conte was well within his rights to give his underperforming players a good slagging off. Yeah. What's he supposed to do? Just accept mediocrity? He just wants the team to be winners. You think, talk about naive from the halfway line, mate. It's amazing, isn't it?
Naive from the halfway line. Very good.
Yep. Anyone, anything else? I've got some more brilliant Clive Myries for later.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you've become slightly obsessed, as we know, with Mastermind and Clive Myries' explanations of the specialist subjects. You think they're a bit obvious? So we'll have a few more touch. Of those for you a little bit later on.
And there's a lovely bit of tabloidese in the paper this morning. This is a story about two wives of an ice cream tycoon who are locked in a fight over his will.
Yeah.
And it says, this is the report. There's the two children, Rob and Rosanna, were entitled to a generous scoop of his money.
That's nice.
The wife claimed the ex-second marriage was flaky from the start.
Beautiful.
And there was a coldness about it. It's all brilliant, isn't it?
So this could go on for 99 years. They've been doing a little bit of that.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I think he's got a £4.7 million fortune, they say. So, I mean, I can only imagine he's got that pitch outside the Houses of Parliament.
Where
you pay about 35 quid for a cornet. You want any sauce on top?
They'll be doing a lot of business this afternoon, I think.
But about an extra fiver, they probably will be. Yes. Yeah. So it's a lot of money in ice cream.
And I see that Race Across the World starts tonight on BBC. And this is basically a programme that we invented many years ago.
We had an idea. We were working in TV development. And at the same, we'd been working on a show and chatting to the late, great Tommy Docherty. And Tom had this line, didn't he? We were talking about Scotland and the World Cup.
Yeah.
And we said, what do you reckon then, Tom? He said, horn before the postcards.
Yeah.
So we just thought, that's a good name for a TV show.
It's a great idea for
a show.
So
we tried to set up this idea, which is basically Race Across the World. But you'd go to these places, you'd post the postcards.
Yeah.
I mean, it was all thought out. We were going slightly stir-crazy in a room trying to come up with TV ideas.
I thought it was good.
But then
you had to beat the postcard.
You'd have to get home before the postcard. And it'd have to be cheated. You'd have to have that shot of sort of Bob and Marjorie running down the street with backpacks on, just as the postie was coming the other way, whistling, you know, and you think, oh, they're going to meet. Then next door's dog has to go at the postie. I mean, it was all very contrived, but, you know, what on telly isn't, let's be honest.
I know.
But anyway, yeah, Race Across the World, Andy. It was us. We 30 did. Years ago, yeah. Never got... No one would touch it with a barge pole. And
like,
quite
like
right,
most
too.
Of the things we came up with.
I think that is almost certainly true. Two players retiring today. We wish them well. Mesut Ozil.
Yes.
And Manu Adebayor. And I think only one of them will get a good reception when he goes back to the Emirates.
Yeah,
I think only one of them will be doing the Emirates Stadium tour.
I'd say that's true.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great? I mean, you know, if you're very secure in your future, which I guess Arsenal might be at the moment, you might invite Adebayor back. And so he's in the club blazer. He takes you around the ground, then he does his infamous knee slide.
Go on, do it for us, Manu.
Run from one end to the other. But no, I think it's unlikely. But good luck to both of them.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, if you listen to the show on a regular basis, you'll be aware of Andy's obsession with Clive Myrie, the excellent host of Mastermind.
We love him, he's brilliant.
We love Clive, but he is duty bound. He's only reading an order cue. It's not, you know, he's not.
I think he writes it.
Do you think he does? You're just talking that up.
No.
But basically, when they have a specialist subject, Clive needs to give you a little sort of potted biography of the person or the thing they're about to talk about. Andy thinks they're a bit obvious, and I mean, he did have one John Lennon, and did have to tell you who John Lennon was.
If you don't know
who John Lennon was, you're not watching Mastermind, are you? I
call it Mastermind, not the Plumbers.
Not the Plumbers. Okay, give us some examples of the ones Clive did this weekend.
And Clive would say, and your specialist subject, and the person they went, Morecambe and Wise.
Yeah.
The life and work of one of Britain's best-loved comedy partnerships. Not the Plumbers.
Not the Plumbers, then. He has to say this, Andy. Yes, because not everybody knows who Morecambe and Wise is, although most people do.
I think they do. The Hollywood novels of Jackie Collins.
Okay.
The best-selling British author series of five racy novels set in the glamorous world of Hollywood. So not a plumbing guide to the homes of Beverly Hills.
Okay. You make a lot of money as a plumber in Beverly Hills, I would imagine. What else?
Duran Duran.
Oh, yeah.
The chart-topping new wave synth pop band formed in Birmingham and named after a character in psychedelic science fiction film.
Barbarella.
Barbarella.
Yeah, that should be a question in itself.
Not the Birmingham-based plumbing partnership of the Duran Brothers.
Although Duran Duran would look good on the side of a van.
Yeah, I think
the idea of Simon Le Bon saying, I'll go and get me rods.
I've got
Blimey.
A lot of them this week.
Okay.
The real-life events of The Great Escape.
Oh, yeah.
The famous breakout, later immortalised in film, of course, that's Clive's words, in which more than 200 prisoners of war tried to escape the Stalag Luft III camp in the Second World War. So not a burst pipe then.
Okay, I wonder where you're going with that.
This one's ludicrous. Oscar-winning performances of the 1990s.
Oscar-winning performances 1990s.
The 1990s film performances for which the Best Actor and Actress Awards were awarded. Yes, Clive, the Oscars. Not okay. The plumbing industry awards, the rods.
I'll give you that one. So we set you a specialist subject every week to see how you'd fare if you were on there. This week it's the Cheltenham Festival. Actually, last week's Cheltenham Festival, the most recent racing festival, well-known Gloucestershire course. So, are you ready, Andy? Your time starts now.
Yes, I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
Honeysuckle won the Mayor's Hurdle on its final appearance. Who was the jockey on board?
Rachel Blackmore.
Oh, well done. Who trains the champion hurdle-winning Constitution Hill?
Nichols.
No, it was Nicky Henderson. Oh, who won the first race of the meeting, beating favourite Facil Vega?
I don't remember.
Marine National. Which horse, you obviously weren't on it, which horse won the Gold Cup? Heroes Welcome when it got back to Ireland, I see in the papers.
Oh, which horse won the Gold Cup? That's a good question, because I wasn't on it either.
Okay. If you weren't on it, you don't really care, do you?
Who won the Gold Cup?
We've only got a certain time limit.
Pass.
Okay, it was... I'll have to come back to that. Which horse finished second in that race?
I don't know who won it. I'm not going to know who came second.
Okay, going to pass on that?
Pass.
Which horse won the Stayers Hurdle at odds of 33-1? I think you're on that one, weren't you?
Not Stay Away Faye, no.
No, Cy de Berlay. Who won the Ryanair Chase on the Thursday, Envoy Allen or Shishkin?
Envoy Allen.
No, it was Shishkin. What's the name of the CEO of the jockey club that we entered?
I thought it won.
No.
Each way.
That's how much money. Okay, what's the name of the CEO of the jockey club that we interviewed last week?
Nevin Truesdale.
Oh, well done. Donna, where's your Truesdale? What was the name of the security guard on the door of our studio who looked after us all week? Do you know?
No, I never actually was told it. So yeah, it's no memory loss there.
You don't deal with trade, do you, Andy?
I don't really deal
You're at the top table.
No.
It was our old mate Tom. It was his birthday when we were there.
Well done,
and finally,
Tom.
What's the name of the pub we did the show from on the Monday?
The Lansdowne.
Oh, well done. God, yeah, you remember the pub name. He passed on too. Galloping Deschamps was the winner of the Gold Cup. Second was Brave Man's Game, which Harry Cobden was on. 4 out of 10. Not bad, Andy. That passes as a specialist subject for you, I'd say.
I know. What can you do?
So there we are. More crackpot Andy Jacobs, not the plumbers then, mastermind material. I have to get Clive on one day and he'll say, no, it's nothing to do with me. I just read it.
He is a football fan. I think he is.
He
supports Southampton.
All right, we'll try. We'll work on it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We turn now to rugby, and we are joined by the former Lions and Wales skipper, Sam Warburton. Hi, Sam.
Hi, lads, how you doing?
Yeah, we're not too bad, thank you. One of your old teachers has been in touch, Mr. Davis. Say hello to Sam from your primary school. Say hello to Sam for me. What a sportsman. Rugby, cricket, football, athletics. He did the lot, he says.
Oh, he's doing me some favours there. I appreciate that.
So, you've been doing a bit of work with Asahi Superdry, haven't you, around the World Cup. We've seen a lot of players in action in this recent Six Nations, and you've been putting your best players together.
Yeah, well, it's mad to be thinking of it, but Six Nations just finished, and then World Cup. Everyone's already turned their attention to World Cup, particularly with Ireland looking so good. And could we have a Northern Hemisphere team to finally rival that of England in 2003 and potentially win a World Cup? And France obviously looking very strong with a home World Cup as well. But yeah, it's a big sort of exciting period coming ahead. And yeah, Asahi are one of the official partners of the World Cup. So it's great to be working with those guys.
It's hard to believe that I say only one Northern Hemisphere side have won the World Cup, and that was
mad.
Yeah, England in the Southern Hemisphere. But this feels different, doesn't it? With Wales and France looking so good. If only you're probably thinking if Wales were that strong. Ireland and France looking this good, you do feel like it's going to be happening again.
It's exciting that because France, Ireland, they are ranked 1 and 2 in the world at the moment, and my goodness, in the Six Nations, they played like it on occasions as well. So I think Ireland are going to be, it's difficult because they're going to be front runners, but then the French will have home advantage. And as you can imagine, the French at home for World Cup, it's going to be absolutely bouncing at every single venue they're going to be at. And they've genuinely, both teams have got world-class players. And I think that, you know, I've never played against a French team or an Irish team as strong as the two that they've currently got at the moment. So I think we are genuinely looking at two teams who could win the World Cup. But saying this, it's very much out of sight, out of mind. South Africa, New Zealand, Australia are sitting down south with no international fixtures at the moment. They play in the summer, in our summer. One of those is going to put a big performance in just to make everyone else realise, hang on a second, you know, we haven't gone anywhere and we're going to be thereabouts. But yeah, exciting times ahead.
Do you think home advantage does France a favour, or does that bring extra pressure if you're kind of choosing between Ireland and France?
Yeah, it's a good one, actually, the question with this, because I find with home advantage from my own personal experience as an ex-player, no player at that level finds it intimidating going to play away from home. And like when you play in France, that's actually the most hostile place you can play. You know, it's very loud. It's much, rugby can be quite a jovial environment. Maybe not when Scotland play England or Wales play England, but for the most part, it's quite a friendly atmosphere, even though it's still loud and you play in front of big crowds. But what I find home advantage does is, rather than, it doesn't put off the away team, but what it does, it lifts the home team massively. And France are certainly one of those teams who absolutely feed off the home crowd. And it almost sounds like a bit of a marketing ploy when players in rugby, we'd say 16th man, you know, it's 15 a side game, obviously, but you say 16th man with the crowd. It's like I have an extra player. But I certainly think for the French, that is definitely the case. That's what I find home advantage does. It just gives the home team a massive boost. Away teams, you know, going away, play away, that doesn't bother you. You can care less. What's going to happen? No one's going to physically abuse you. You know, there's nothing from it. You know, you love those environments. They're awesome to play in. And when you make it quiet, they're often the best ones. They're often the best moments of your career when you go away from home and you make a stadium silent. That's an amazing feeling. You know, it sounds quite strange to say, but I think it just lifts the home team massively. So the French will certainly have a massive advantage being at home, having such a hostile, passionate crowd.
Yeah.
We've seen Freddie Stewart's red card rescinded today. And
yeah,
what do you make of all this thing going on with the tackles? And is it going to impact the World Cup?
Yeah, you know, this sort of news has started breaching the borders of rugby. You know, obviously in rugby, there's a massive player welfare issue at the minute. And even people who aren't really rugby fans are hearing about how the game is being refereed, you know, really strict on head contacts. When I played 5-6 years ago, it was coming in. 10 years ago, there were a lot of head contacts in games because a lot of them they weren't intentional. They were accidental. And it just happens, you know, they're called sort of rugby incidents now, but those get red carded a lot. My first thought was it was never a red card. But then you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, if you're a referee. The referee was a top class ref. He is looking at this as if he didn't red card him, there's going to be a lot of players who've come out with dementia, who've struggled with the mental aspect of their health from head collisions. And they're going to say, why is that not punished? It's a head contact that needs to be punished. And there's a lot of people in the camp saying, well, that's a rugby collision. What can he do? There's literally nothing he can do. I was in the camp of it was a rugby collision and he had very little time to react, and it was just one of those unfortunate situations. And I think a yellow card, they come out and said now a yellow card is right. I think that would have been the right call. Interesting in rugby now, they're trialing in the Southern Hemisphere that if it's seen, if you think it's going to be a red card, they'll give it a yellow. And while that player's off for 10 minutes having a yellow card, and it, the match officials can, not on the pitch now, can independently review it, and they can decide whether it's upgraded to a red or whether it stays as a yellow, in which case that player would return. If that was the case, Freddie Stewart probably would have gone off with a yellow. They would have said, yeah, no, it's actually, let's keep it as a yellow, don't upgrade it to a red, and he would have come back on the pitch. So I think that that's quite a good law, subtle law change that could probably help us from having these situations again.
Just a quick one on the football. Like me, you are a long-suffering Spurs fan. That way we've got a reset just around the corner once again. I just wondered, as a former professional sportsman, if Warren Gatland came into the dressing room after a game and said nothing to any of the players, then went into the press conference and absolutely slaughtered all of them, how do you think you'd feel?
Oh, you know, Tottenham fans, they give us a glimmer of hope and then we naively think we're going to do something and then we have a humbling defeat, or in this case... Do you know what? Somebody said to me the other day, they said, what do you think of that Conte interview? I said, I liked it, actually. I'm beginning as a Spurs fan to get fed up with this. It seems too comfortable there. It seems too comfortable. I think you chat to all the people in top environments. It's challenging. People are really wanting to bring the best out of each other. It seems like something's not right there. And we can only hazard a guess. You know, we're not behind the doors of the changing room, the team meetings, on the pitch. We can only hazard a guess. But I think Conte has gone in there. He's not had the support he wanted. There's probably some players there who he's not seeing what he wants to see from a determination perspective. And I can understand it. I can understand his frustration. And I'm actually glad he came out and said that. I think he's probably been holding that back for quite some time. And I don't think the players are probably going to probably challenge him on that, because deep down, you know, I've been involved, and I say that because I've been in rugby environments where I know I'm like, this is too comfortable. Mm-hmm. There's players who are just floating along. You know, I look around the room. Are you all really aspiring to be the single best player in your position in the world right now? And if you're not, then like that's not the standards that you should be. That's not acceptable. You know, not if you want to be a premiership winning team, you know. So he's obviously seen standards that he thinks is not worthy of a premiership winning team, an FA Cup winning team, you know, anything. League Cup, bring back the Intertoto, I'll take anything. Like, you're Tottenham fans. But yeah, he's obviously seen standards that are unacceptable. And I actually, people might think it's harsh. I actually quite like what I saw, actually.
That's interesting. Mm. Well, look, Sam, lovely to talk to you as always. And thanks very much for joining us. And we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, lads. I always listen to you boys on my car journey, so keep doing what you're doing, and thanks for having me on.
All the best. Thank you, Sam. Appreciate that. There's Sam Warburton there, former Wales and Lions skipper. Interesting take on Tottenham. I wasn't necessarily expecting that, but I mean, look, I think you'll find an awful lot of Tottenham fans agreed with aspects of what Conte said. Not all of it, but certain aspects of it.
I think the thing that annoyed me was none of it was his fault.
Yeah, none of it was his fault. And, of course, the hypocrisy of the fact that he won't sign a new contract. And if you're asking for heart and commitment from players and, you know, you're off in the summer, that makes it all the more difficult. But interesting from Sam there, you know, it has got a bit comfortable. Too many players have been there for too long. So maybe a bit more churn is needed. We shall see.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Terry, the Chelsea fan, in light of our chat about the 83-84 season with Nigel Spackman and Mark, the author, one of the co-authors of the book, said, I've got Pat Nevin short from the last game of the season when we beat Leeds 5-0. And that was, he said, that was 82-83.
That's a good thing.
One of the days when players would throw their shorts into the crowd.
Yeah, I mean, those quite shorts. Italy.
I mean, your shorts were short enough in that era. They all were. But that was the other thing about that kit. They were quite.
Ken Bates would have charged, didn't they, for a new pair of shorts.
Pat. Want the money back, that's true. Anything else you want to talk about, Andy?
Yes, what do we got here? Honestly, some of these letters. This bloke's written to the Daily Star.
Yeah.
He says, what's happening with the BBC?
You seem to have much higher expectations of what a letter to the Daily Star in... I mean, what are you expecting it to be, some sort of essay?
Yes, very much.
Okay, fair enough. Okay.
First it was Lineker and his useless mates getting their jobs back. Now it's reported that Boris Becker, who did time in jail for breaking his bankruptcy terms, is coming back to the Beeb. If this happens, I, for one, will not be watching the BBC again or paying my licence fee. I bet you do, though.
Yeah.
You will. You probably won't pay your fee, but you will watched it.
Yeah, I'm sure he certainly will. Yes,
the Duke of Kent. He was.
Is he coming in?
No, well, here he is. Good afternoon, sir. He was the patron of St Mungo's. He attended the Grange Road service. Was he first or second service? He wasn't sure.
Okay, nice. Yeah. The point being is that he spends a lot of time at Wimbledon and loves tennis, as you've probably gathered by now.
Something like that.
Anything else?
Not really.
No?
Well, it's International Week, you know. It's
a bit quiet on the international front. Yeah, yeah. You looking forward to the game?
Tomorrow, yeah.
Italy, England.
Well, Italy's a good game. It's a hard game for England. It's always difficult. So, you know, I can't see England going there and winning. I mean, maybe a draw would be a decent result.
I've never been to Naples, have you? Have you ever had the pleasure? I've always quite fancied it.
It's quite a lively place. Not a great place for English football fans to go, let's be honest.
No, I think... Adrian was talking about that on Jim and Simon's show a little bit earlier on, talking about the fact that it's there and it does bring a bit of heightened security. It's been a long time since I've had a game there, and often sort of overseas Herbert's ultras want to sort of prove themselves against English football fans, even though not all those English football fans want to get involved in any of that sort of stuff. They just want to go and see a football match.
Yeah, absolutely.
But a certain reputation from the past comes with them, so they want to prove themselves.
They should be happy because Napoli are doing so well, and it's the best period since Maradona. So
I think they only need three more wins, don't they?
They're definitely going to win.
Oh yeah,
but I think they've got a good shout in the Champions League as well.
Yeah, we were just chatting when we off air to Nigel Spackman about Osimhen and how much demand there's going to be for him. I mean, if Chelsea could get him, but I mean, there's going to be a lot of clubs interested. Manchester United.
I'm not sure they can. I mean, they spent a lot of money already. So, you know, eventually you have to start selling players.
Which they're going to do anyway.
Well, they're going to do, but it's hard. You all know it's hard to get rid of players. You know, the academy ones, of course, are pure profit, so it's more tempting to sell them.
Yeah.
But the likes of Sterling, who you might think hasn't been a great success, you might want to get rid of him. Difficult.
Mounts off to Liverpool, you think?
Well, I don't know that, but it's looking that way. Yeah.
That's the most likely home for him.
Yep.
We're all bracing ourselves for, all football fans, well, certainly I'm bracing myself for a big goodbye this summer. I think we all can all guess who I'm talking about.
Maybe. I mean, if United get Osimhen, they wouldn't want Kane, and I can't see Harry Kane going abroad. I just can't. But who knows? You know,
Are you suggesting he's not urbane and cosmopolitan?
I just think he loves his
home. Doesn't like foreign food.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying
doesn't like the sun. It's too hot.
He's a home bird, would be my guess.
Have you got absolutely no evidence of that at all?
You just get that sense of somebody who loves his home.
He's a home bird.
Don't you get that sense with him? Otherwise, he would have left. I think he would have left already if he was, if he was like truly internationally ambitious. Why would he still be at Tottenham?
I think
he was
desperate for it to happen at Tottenham, but I think, they've tried every experiment, haven't they, in his years there, and nothing's quite come off. You know, you've got to keep believing in the next big thing, and it's whether he can buy into that. That's the thing. You'd need to know who the next manager's going to be. After what happened the last time, that old summer of find somebody and then just happened upon Nuno. What a startling success that was.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, there we are. That was this afternoon's show in a nutshell. I'll be back with Charlie to do it all again tomorrow. And the birthday spread returns.
Oh, yeah.
Which I won last week, didn't I? I got back in the saddle. Am I going mad?
You did. Yeah, you beat.
Well, not last week,
no,
week
you
before.
Beat Charlie the week before. Yeah.
Week before, that's right, yeah. So, do hope you can join us from one. If not, the podcast, as always, will be available at 4. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.